ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
For many older Australians, the slogan about education touchstones, you know, secular, compulsory, and free, rang true. With the free bit extending into the tertiary education sector, at least for a while, Australians who went to uni after the election of the Whitlam government, but before 1989, only had to pay for textbooks and materials. The tuition itself was free. Then, in the August 1988 budget, the Hawke government announced the Higher Education Contribution Scheme. And it would start on January the 1st, 1989. HECS, as it was known, was touted as providing a fair way to fund high-level tertiary education without being too onerous on students. Well, there are 3 million Australians currently paying off their university fees at the moment, and they could be hit with even higher student debt soon, at a time when cost of living pressure is already hitting hard. According to parliamentary library calculations, prepared at the request of the Federal Greens, the next scheduled rise on the June the 1st could see HECS debts rise up to 4.8%. Greens Deputy Leader Senator Mehran Faruqi says such a large increase would make it incredibly hard for people who are already doing it tough.
What I'm hearing from people is that they are feeling angry, they're feeling frustrated, and they're feeling really helpless. With indexation, they're actually going backwards. So their debt is increasing faster than they can pay it off.
The federal government, however, is hinting that changes to the scheme could be just around the corner. The Prime Minister, Mr Albanese, a recipient himself of free tertiary education, has told an FM radio station that the government will soon be making announcements in response to recommendations from the Australian Universities Accord.
I think there's a range of areas where we need to do much better with the younger generation, basically, and HECS is one of them.
I don't know whether he always speaks for the national anthem in the background, but maybe he does. Joining us again for the Nightlife News Breakdown is the ABC's Fran Kelly, political journalist, presenter of Saturday Extra on RN and co-host of the Party Room podcast. Fran, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks very much, Philip. Great to be back.
Well, young voters, they might have turned out for Labor to some extent in the last election, but with housing unaffordability, HECS going up, no one's mentioned the deleterious situation of, or the dire situation actually, of your overseas on HECS can be really bad.
Yeah, it can be.
Everyday costs up with inflation. Well, they may not be a happy bunch when it comes to the next federal election, might they?
Well, we already know they're not a happy bunch. I mean, I would add that the words beleaguered and hard done by to that list of descriptors from Senator Faruqi there. Yes, the younger Australians are feeling very hard done by. They are not happy at the moment. We've talked about that a lot. In fact, I think we've talked about it, Philip, in terms of housing. You know, they can't afford a house and can never see themselves affording a house, and they can't afford to rent. And if they can afford to rent, there's nothing to rent. So they're grumpy about that. You know, they're unhappy with climate policy and they're unhappy that they're paying so much for their education, because they know us oldies got a lot, most of us got it for free, and they see their HECS debt rising. It's a really tough at the moment, the last couple of years, when inflation, what happens with your HECS debt is it gets indexed every June. So every year it goes up by the CPI, the inflation rate. And inflation rate's been sky high. Last June it went up by 7.1%, I think. This June it's another 4%. So, you know, if you're one of those people who gets past the threshold where you have to start paying your HECS down, you see yourself paying off a lump, and then you see a whole other lump being put back on your debt every June. And it's an unhappy situation. The overall national HECS debt is $78 billion. And it's causing not just grumpiness, it's also causing unfairness because, you know, as we've talked about home ownership, it's hard to get into the housing market. It's even harder when you've got a HECS debt because the bank takes that into consideration. Change must happen. The Greens have been calling for it. The crossbench have been calling for a long time. The government's own review from the uni sector suggested it needed to happen, and now we've got the Prime Minister telling us something will happen.
Yeah, here we are headed down, you know, as in so many things, the American road, where in America, if you go to college, as they call it, paying off your college fees takes you well into your late 40s, or maybe longer, you know,
well,
on top of everything else.
I read something today, Philip, that said some people are paying off their HECS debt for four decades, for 40 years. Mm. And in America, they now do have some kind of HECS scheme, but it doesn't work even as well or fairly as ours. But Joe Biden, get this, in recent months, has started forgiving debt. waiving some of the increases, the interest on the debt. So he's actually going further because they're obviously getting political pressure too, I would say, from young Americans. And it's a real issue there. As you say, their cost of education is sky high.
Yes, and we mentioned this. I mean, I don't know whether people feel sorry for them or not. You probably all do, in the sense the young Australians who are going overseas getting some overseas work experience too are in many cases required to pay their HECS back in big lumps immediately rather than in a staggered way too, which is causing all sorts of problems. Anyway, it was supposed to be a fair system, and the designer of the system thought it was going to be fair too, Bruce Chapman, and, you know, hats off to him for coming up with a scheme, but it hasn't quite, it's not playing out as it should, is it?
No, it's not. And this fact that it's indexed to inflation was done in a world when inflation was pretty much stable. And what we've seen now is it's skyrocketing. So we expect that one of the changes that we made is the government will acknowledge it will index it either to the wages index or the CPI, whichever is the lesser. And so that would be looking at wages. Wages are rising at a lesser rate than the rate of inflation, so that would help. But there's other things too. There's calls for the repayment threshold to be lifted. So the coalition actually dropped it a few years ago. So now it kicks in when you earn $51,500, I think. Some are suggesting that needs to be raised, and others are also suggesting that the way they slap it on as soon as you hit that threshold is unfair too, because then they slap it on the whole 51,000 instead of just the bit that you've earned on top of that. So there are some changes that could make it fairer and perhaps make it an easier burden to carry. But, you know, I think it's a real issue. It's clearly, I mean, we're hearing anecdotally more and more from young people that they're just not prepared to incur that debt. We need more of our kids going to uni, not fewer of them. So we really need to be doing something.
Of course we do. Of course we do. This, on to another topic, this issue of social cohesion has been around this week, how robust the fabric of Australian society is, prompted by people asking questions after the dreadful events in Bondi Junction last Saturday and then this attack in southwest Sydney on Monday night. There are concerns about threats and the commentary following these incidents, particularly the one in southwest Sydney, which involved an attack on a church official. Some community leaders are questioning why the attack at the church was so quickly labelled a terrorist incident, which might be a fair question. The Prime Minister made the comment about this earlier in the week.
This is a disturbing incident. There is no place for violence in our community. There is no place for violent extremism. We are a peace-loving nation. This is a time to unite, not divide, as a community and as a country.
The Shadow Defence Minister, Andrew Hastie, of course, was quick to use the incident to castigate the federal government on the issue of security.
I think this is our most severe test for social cohesion, which is why Anthony Albanese's leadership is so important. And I think he can be stronger. He can start by restoring Directors General of ASIS and ASIO to his National Security Committee of Cabinet. I think that's a huge oversight.
I don't want to be ignorant about this, Fran, but is everyone over-egging this? At least one Islamic leader has said today, look, this is a 16-year-old person, very probably with some mental and social adjustment issues, and that's all it is. Is everyone jumping over the cliff on the terrorist bandwagon too early?
Well, the problem is, I think, it's not a terrorist bandwagon, it's a legal definition, and that's what's the police and the government and the agencies have sort of sought to implement here, because, yes, a lot of people are offended by the fact it's been declared a terrorist incident so quickly. It is a kid. We've just seen mental illness play a part in a brutal stabbing at Westfield Shopping Centre in Bondi Junction. Is this not possible that this is a mental issue as
exactly,
well?
Exactly.
All of those things might be true, but the problem is that for the forces who are investigating this, the person who carried out the alleged attack, stabbing, you know, indicated it was religiously motivated by the things that he said.
Yeah, but he's 16. He's 16.
He's 16, but it was a 15-year-old who shot down Curtis Cheng, you know, outside the police centre all those years ago during the rise of ISIS. So, you know, one doesn't necessarily follow the other. And for the police, what the police chief and the premier have said is that, that by defining it under this law, it gives them greater powers of investigation. So it means it's easier for them to check out this kid's social media.
I get that. They want the
and extra for the agencies to work together as well.
Sure, they get the extra powers, but should they be trumpeting this issue of? Terrorism. So, because I think in the minds of a lot of people, it's not terrorism, is it?
No, it's not terrorism to the extent that we were frightened of it perhaps 7 or 8 years ago, when, as I say, ISIS-inspired attacks were occurring and the agencies were on full alert, and the Muslim leadership and certainly the moderate Muslim leadership was very, very agitated and doing all it can to try and sort of change the direction of many of the youth. It's not that we're not there yet. But, and hopefully we don't get there again. Social cohesion is an issue at the moment. And I would say not just this week, but, you know, we know since the Hamas attacks on Israel on October the 7th last year and the ensuing Gaza war, the frictions, the tensions between Muslims in this country and many Muslims, certainly Palestinians and Arabs generally, and Israelis have been sky high. Anti-Semitic attacks have increased, as have Islamophobic attacks. So there are breakdowns in social cohesion. That's if we're only looking at it through this paradigm. I mean, not to mention the sort of Indigenous, non-Indigenous tensions playing out in the Northern Territory. So there are a lot of fronts where, as a community, I think we do have concern. It is the government's job to lead on this. I'm certainly not as critical as the Prime Minister as Andrew Hastie is, and I think in response to this attack, his response has been good and has been strong. But we do need to focus on this, I think, not just in the framework of, you know, jihadist terrorism, but generally in social cohesion.
Yeah, the question is whether the law enforcement authorities are improving things by essentially labelling a whole community of people, that is the Islamic community, with the accusation of terrorism.
Well, I mean, they would say they're not labelling the whole community, they're labelling this act. And the police chief was quick to point out that just because they're investigating under terrorism charges doesn't mean that if charges are laid, they will be terrorist charges. That's the weird thing about this. But look, there's a lot of people worried about it, concerned about it, critical of it. You'd have to think that government and agencies would have thought carefully before they did this, but, you know,
well,
maybe not.
I don't know how long they thought about it, because the declaration was made
not long.
At about 3 a.m., I think, and the event happened, you know, late earlier on that evening. All right.
I think it was the contrast with the Bondi Junction attack, where many more people were killed. That that's made people question why they, in the sense of they as against us and them, you know, get branded with this label and others don't. That just goes to the sensitivities, I think, that I'm talking about.
It's a legitimate question, I would have thought, for those communities to ask. All right, look, on to the management of the economy, Fran. A bit of economic data out today. Australia's official jobless rates increased slightly as the economy slows from successive interest rate rises. Unemployment's back up to 3.8%, although there's been a surge in the number of new jobs created. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers is off to the US. He's there now for meetings this week with G20 finance ministers, the IMF and the World Bank, amid warnings from Treasury and other economists about the scope of current geopolitical uncertainties. Now, he delivers the federal budget on May the 14th, but maybe we should all be reassured, because Australia has risen to second in world budget management rankings, according to IMF data. A silver medal for us. Although, Fran, you've been around long enough, as I have, to remember, I'm sure, when the current Treasurer Jim Chalmers' idol, Paul Keating, won the World's Best Treasurer Award. So coming second's all right, but, you know, gold's better, isn't it?
Well, everyone was shocked, remember, during the GFC when Wayne Swan got the world's best treasurer.
That's
Jim
right.
Chalmers was actually working in his office at the time.
That's right.
And, Australians were very proud of that, and I think we'd be very proud of the silver medal for budget balance. And Jim Chalmers can certainly take it as a win. He's over there in the US, as you say, doing a sort of a speed dating tour. I think he said he's got 19 meetings in 2 days and then back to prepare the budget. But it's an important time globally, I think, for the treasurer to be up to date with things, because there's a lot of global pressures coming on our budget that won't be easy to deal with. But yeah, I think Jim Chalmers will be very proud of this silver medal. Very proud of it.
Who got gold?
Canada.
Treasurer of Ukraine or something. What is that? Oh, Canada. Oh, dear.
Canada.
Oh, dear.
Goody goodies,
exactly. What are you making of the pressures the government's under with the federal budget? What sort of budget's going to be, do you think?
Well, I think they're lucky they've got another budget before the election date, or so we're told. I've said that pretty clearly. So this won't be the one where they have to feel compelled to hand out more goodies than perhaps be afforded. Having said that, you know, the cost of living pressures are intense. The pressures that we've been talking about earlier about younger Australians feeling like they're missing out. The Greens are making a big play for that voter base. They have been through all their pressures around rent prices and housing availability. And I would say probably making a big dent in Labor's voter base there with young voters. So, you know, I think there are pressures on the government to act in a few areas, but this latest unemployment data we've just had suggests that the jobs market remains pretty strong, and that means, you know, pressures around the Reserve Bank and chances of them cutting interest rates anytime soon have just receded a little. So, you know, I think the government's got to be pretty careful about inflation still.
Yes, not to push this metaphor any further than it is, but it's time. Maybe I suspect Mr. Albanese will be putting on the dark glasses and saying there'll be no elections this year.
No, there's no election this year. I think we can bank that.
All right. Fran, always great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.